Parshas Chayesara is traditionally known as the Parsha of Shiduchim, because Eliezer conducts the first Shiduch on behalf of Yitzchak in finding Rivka. But even if it wouldn't be in the upcoming Parshas HaShavua, Shiduchim is something that is always on people's minds, no matter what stage of life you find yourself in. And now many of you might be looking for Shiduchim at the right time. But even after that, then you want to help friends get married, and then a little bit later, you want to marry off your children, and then it's grandchildren, it's interested by all of us. So Shiduchim is something that is always an appropriate topic to be discussed. And one of the most common shaylos that comes up in Shiduchim is whether or not, or to at what point, if at all, is one obligated to reveal confidential or private information in the course of Shiduchim and dating. So the truth of the matter is, the issue is really relevant to a much larger issue, which is whenever one is conducting any type of transaction, is one obligated to reveal confidential or secret information? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, and it's really quoting from a Gemara in Chulin on Daf Tzadi Dalid, that one who is conducting a transaction is obligated to disclose any blemish or defect that might exist in the item, otherwise he'll be in violation of the Iser of Genevas Das. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Choshen Mishpat over here, Aser lirmois b'nei adam b'mekach v'memkar. One is not allowed to deliberately deceive anyone in the conducting of a transaction, or to withhold information that they are entitled to. Kegoin, for example, yesh mum b'mekchay tzarech lahedia l'lekeach. If there is a blemish or a defect in an item that one is selling, if one is selling a scratched car, you have to let the guy know that the car is scratched, or a couch that has a tear in it, you have to let him know that the couch is defective. And if you don't, you might be in violation of the Iser of Genevas Das, because it would be a mistaken sale. And not only that, but the Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Metzia and Daf Samach Amud Aleph, Ein mefarchsin lo yas ha'adam v'lo yas ha'behemah v'lo yas ha'kelim. One is not allowed to repaint an old kli and present it as a new kli. You know, if you have an old stove and you're going to repaint it and make the guy think that it's a new stove, so then that's a deceptive practice. And if you would do so, you'd be in violation of either the Iser of Genevas Das or what is known as Oino, as overcharging or fraud. So you would violate one of these two Isur, either Oino or Genevas Das. Obviously, you can polish up, you know, an old item. That's called marketing. You can polish it up, but you can't deceive the other person into thinking that it's new when, in fact, it is old. So this is the standard that applies when it comes to mekach u'memkar. You have to disclose any mum or blemish that is relevant information that the other party would be entitled to. So the Sefer Chassidim extends this principle as well to shiduchim. Shiduchim is not exactly the same type of transaction as a person who's buying or selling an item, but shiduchim is without a doubt a kind of transaction. As we know, how is shiduchim conducted? You give kiddushei kesef. We have the practice of being mekadesh with shaveh kesef. Where does that whole concept come from of giving the woman? It comes from this week's parsha. The same manner in which Avram Avinu purchases Maris HaMachpelah by giving to Ephron Achiti money, as the Pasuk says, V'nosati kesef hasodek kach mimeni, I'm giving you the money for the field, take it from me. So the Gemara in Kiddushin learns out, based on the Pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze, where the Pasuk says, Ki yikach ish isha, a man will take a woman, that kicha kicha miste Ephron. The same way Avram Avinu purchased Maris HaMachpelah, it's the same way a person goes about arranging a marriage with a woman. Is with Kiddushei Kesef. So it's a kind of transaction, at least comes under that broad heading. So the Sefer Chassidim says, therefore, when a person is conducting a shidduch, being engaged in a shidduch, lo yechasa adam mum b'nei beisoy, you're not allowed to cover over a blemish that exists in the person who's involved in the shidduch. Rather, we'll skip to the end, we'll come back to the middle in a minute. Rather, you have to reveal that information to them, lest they say or have a claim at the end that it was a mistaken marriage, it was somehow a kiddushei tos. Okay, so the parties must disclose what we'll call, for now, relevant information. And if you don't, you can be a violation of the Iser of Genevas Das, or perhaps the Iser of fraud. Not only do the two parties have to reveal that information, But the Sefer Chofetz Chaim writes, this is all the way the last section of Halachas in Sefer Chofetz Chaim, a third party who sees these two people becoming involved in a relationship, a shidduch, must reveal this information to these two parties independently of being asked. An independent third party must reveal this information if he suspects that the two parties did not reveal the information themselves. If they revealed it, he doesn't have to come along. But if he suspects that they don't know, or he knows that they don't know, he is obligated to disclose that information. Writes the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, Im hu roya she'echad roita lishtadech. Sees a person wants to have a shidduch. Im echad v'yodeh l'roya hazek yechassin yesho chisroinus atzumim. He knows that the chassin has a major chisroin, which we'll have to define. V'amachatin einu yodeh mizeh, and the other party does not know about it. Writes the Chofetz Chaim, Yesh legalos loy, the third party must reveal it. It would not be considered Lashon Hara. It would not be included in the Pasuk and Parashas Kedoshim of Loiseilech Rachel Be'amecha. We should not be in the practice of trading gossip or trading secrets with others. Speaking ill about others, this would not be included within that Issa of Lashon Hara. Yes.
Is the Chofetz Chaim talking about actively, like telling the person, or only if the third party is asked?
Well, even if you're not asked. You must go out of your way, the good Samaritan, and let the other person know about it. Why isn't it Lashon Hara? Because there's another mitzvah in the Torah. There's another mitzvah in the Torah which appears in that very same pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim of Lo Samoid Al Dam Reyecha. You're not allowed to stand idly by while your friend's blood is being spilled. So the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, and I find Gimel Med Aleph, that that means if my friend is in mortal danger, he's drowning in the sea, And I know how to swim, I'm obligated to try and save him. If I stand idly by, I'm in violation of the Eastern Torah of L'Samad Al-Dam Reyecha. However, the Rambam writes in Perek Alef of Hilchos Reitzeach Halacha Yadawah that this is not limited to a person who stands idly by while his friend is in mortal danger, even if he's going to have harm done to him, or he'll suffer a hefsed, then everyone else is obliged to come to his rescue. Writes the Rambam, Haroyas Chavero Teveya Biyam. You see a friend who's drowning in the sea, or list in Ba'am Olav, or thieves are planning to rob him, V'yochalat Silo, and you can save him, V'loy Hitzil, and you don't do so, or Sheshama Goyim Ma'isu Mechashim Olav Ra, he sees people who are intending to do him harm, he doesn't inform his friend about it, he's over on the Easter of Lo Samoid Al Dam Reyecha. You shouldn't stand idly by while your friend is suffering a loss or a hefsed. And that appears in the very same pasuk as the Easter of Lashon Hara of Lo Seilech Rachel Ba'amecha. Why are they in the same pasuk? So Chofetz Chaim darshins the pasuk, you know. It's not really only the Chofetz Chaim. It's already found in the name of Chaim Volozhiner and many, many others. That the reason why these two are in the same pasuk is because Loisamad Al Dam Reyecha comes to regulate the Easter of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara only applies if it's not what the Chofetz Chaim dubs Litoy Eles. If it's Litoy Eles, I'm coming to help my friend prevent him from suffering a loss, and it's of consequence to him, so then the information that I provide him, even if I might be speaking ill about somebody else, would not be called Lashon Hara. In fact, I would be obligated to do so. It would be part of the mitzvah of L'Samad Al-Dam Reyach. And if you don't do so, you'd be over on this Easter of L'Samad Al-Dam Reyach. Okay? So anything that I know the other party needs to know, and the information that is relevant, and he is entitled to, and he's not being given that information, I have an obligation to inform him about it. Otherwise, be in violation of the Easter of L'Samad Al-Dam Reyach. The Chofetz Chaim adds, by the way, that there are a few caveats to this, a few conditions, that you can't exaggerate, obviously, and you can't jump to conclusions and say what the person should, what his reaction should be, and you can't do so with malicious intent, meaning if I hate the other party, you can't do this. Chofetz Chaim has a few conditions and limitations on this heter, but that's the basic heter, is that if I know someone else is not being given information and they're entering into a shidduch, it's information that is relevant, I'm obligated as a third party to provide them with that information. And this is true even if it's told to you in confidence, it's told to you as a secret, nonetheless, you are obligated to disclose that information. Because the truth of the matter is, we don't have a concept in halacha called confidentiality. Something is told to me as a secret, that prevents me from saying it. The truth of the matter is, you're not allowed to disclose anything that is told to you, even if it is not, like I say to you, this is in confidence. Even if I don't say that, I don't give that disclaimer or that condition, everything is presumed to be told in confidence, unless you are explicitly told otherwise. The Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma, and the Avdalut and Mabeis, commenting on the Pasuk at the beginning of Parashas Vayikra, the Minayin La'oim Adavel L'Chaveir Shehuba Bal Yoimar. How do you know that anything that your friend tells you, you are not allowed to repeat? Ad Sheyoimar Leich Emor. Until he says to you, you may repeat it. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Parashas Vayikra, first Pasuk, Vayidaber Hashem Eilav Me'oyal Moed Leimar. Kadosh Baruch Hu called to Moshe Rabbeinu and he spoke to him from Oyal Moed, saying, that's the heter. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you can repeat this. But barring that, you're not allowed to repeat anything anybody ever tells you. Unless they give you a heter of Lamar. Otherwise, Rashi says you should put the conjunction, it's Loi Yomar. Don't say it. Unless you're told Lamar, then a person has a heter to say it. So the truth of the matter is we're all bound by confidentiality. Unless you're given a specific heter to say it. But certainly if something was told to you in confidence, you're not supposed to reveal it, but here it would be allowed, and you would be obligated to do so. Otherwise, you'd be in violation of the Isur v'samar al dam reyacha. So if I know a party needs information, is entitled to information, in a shidduch, same would be true in a sale, and they're not being given that information, I'm obligated to give it to them, even if it was told to me in confidence. Let's say you're a medical professional, and you're bound by secular laws of confidentiality. So we can't speak about that aspect of it, but al pi halacha, if all the people you're dealing with is Jews, so then al pi halacha, one would be obligated to disclose that information, even though you are in a position of assumed confidentiality, like a medical professional. You'd be obligated to disclose that information because of the Easter of Lysa. And if you're not, you'd be in violation of Lysa Manodam Reyakha. Let's say you're going to lose your license to practice medicine if you disclose that information. Are you obligated to go so far? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch in Yaradei Asimin Kuf Nun Zayin that to perform a mitzvah asay, you have to give up a fifth of your money. 20% of that which you have to violate, to perform a mitzvah saseh. But to avoid performing a mitzvah loy saseh, the Ramah, I didn't give it to you, the Ramah says you have to give up kol hain besai, everything that you have. All the money in the world that you have, you must give up, sacrifice, rather than violate a loy saseh. Wow. The doctor has to give up his livelihood to violate the confidentiality to save this guy from potential shidduch. Where he doesn't know information. So the Piskei Tshuva writes in Yaradeya has two opinions. One of it's a loisese that is passive. You violate it just by sitting here like this. I'm not saying anything. I'm not that a person's violating, he's eating the veil of meat. I understand you have to give up all your money rather than eat tray for meat. Someone comes to you and says, give me all your money or I'll make you eat tray for meat. So then he's like, either or he'll kill you. Or you have two options, to kill you, you're not obligated to give up your life rather than, but who says, I'll take all your money, or eat nevela meat. You're obligated to give up all your money rather than eat nevela meat. But if it's passive, it is performance. It's like, I'm just sitting here, I'm not doing anything proactively. That's two opinions in the Piskei Tshuva on the bottom of the Yaradeya, whether or not you have to give up all your money. So that would be dependent on these two opinions in Piskei Tshuva. Do you have to give up all your money rather than violate confidentiality if you're going to lose your license to practice medicine? Guy's career will be over. Should depend on those two opinions in the Piskei Tshuva. Anyway, so even if it's told you in confidence, one must break confidentiality in order to disclose the relevant information. This is even if you're not asked, by the way. Let's say you're asked. I wouldn't have thought this point was relevant, and therefore I didn't mention it. But now they ask me. So clearly it is relevant to them. Clearly they do care about it. So now it just became relevant information. So if a person is asked about something in a shidduch, you are supposed to speak honestly and you're not allowed to lie. The truth is, the Gemara says like this in Baba Basra. Look over here, Baba Basra, Tezayin Amud Aleph. Gemara is quoting from the Pasuk in Sefer Eiyov. The Lev Almona Arnin, that Eiyov made the heart of the Almona happy. What does that mean? Whenever there was an almana that no one wanted to marry her, he would say nice things about her. then people would want to marry her. What did he say about her already? What did he say so nice about the almana? Everyone's jumping to marry the almana. Says Rashi, "Oy mershi he kray vasai." He said she's my relative. "Oy medaber balasiana," or he would say other nice things. But he said she's my relative. She wasn't his relative, so he lied. He lied in order to get the shidduch done. Don't you see from here that you can lie in shidduchim? So Avasher Weiss has a tshuva in his Minchas Asher. He has a svarim on Chumash called Minchas Asher, and then he has tshuvas Minchas Asher. So in the first volume of the tshuvas Minchas Asher, he says, "Nah, this is really limited." He said, "This would first of all, what difference does it make if the guy's my second cousin or not? You know, that's not a substantive difference. So the lie was of no consequence at all. Maybe it was to play Jewish geography or something, but it made no difference that she's my niece twice, third, three times removed. She's my karav. He didn't say is my daughter." He says, "This is my karav." And also, what does a karav really mean? It's a very vague term. People say, "We're related." Related, who knows? Could be we're very close. We call him uncle. We call him a cousin. Brother. People use that term very loosely. So it doesn't mean anything. Karav is very vague. Who knows what that means? The sense of Asher Weiss, in those circumstances, limited circumstances, he was able to, we'll call it bend the truth. He didn't say anything that was an outright lie. It could be interpreted as the truth. But to say the girl is, 19 when in fact she's 47, that's an outright lie. And if a person is asked directly about any specific detail of someone else, he is not supposed to lie and is supposed to do his best to tell the truth. Rav Asher Weiss writes that is the general rule. And if he doesn't do so, if he lies, he would be in violation of the Isar of either Lifnei Evil or Sitei Mishol. You're giving bad advice, you're lying, also. Isar of telling lies would also be in violation of the Isar of Evil Loisite Mesho and Loisamar Damriyacha. That you're tricking your friend into a potential loss which he is unaware of. Okay, so that's the general rule, Rabbi Isai. Just like when it comes to Mekach u'Memkar, you have to provide the other party with relevant information. And if you don't, you'd be in violation of the Isar of Gnei Vazdas. So to write the Sefer Chassidim, that one would be obligated to provide relevant information to the other party in the shidduch, and Chafetz Chaim says that even a third party would be obligated to provide that information, and if he doesn't provide that information, he would be in violation of the Isur and the Torah of Lo Yisamid Adam Reyecha. What is the main crux of the issue that comes up L'maisa, though, is what is called, what I've been vaguely calling relevant information, what is included in that category of relevant information? So if you look at the Sefer Chassidim, he seems to imply that it's anything that the parties would have liked to know in advance. And if they would have known in advance, they might not have accepted the Shidduch in the first place. Look at the Sefer Chassidim, Ois Gimel. Lo yachasa adam mum b'dei beisoi, im tzrikim bonav akrevel lizdavik, if someone in the house needs to find the Shidduch, im yesh lehem choyli, if they have a medical condition, she'ilu hayu yoidim oisam hamizdavgim imam oisah choyli, that if the people who are on the other side of the shidduch would have known about this condition, they would never have agreed to the shidduch in the first place. So it sounds like anything that the party would have been interested in initially, and if they would have known, they might not have agreed to the shidduch, that's the kind of information that has to be provided, and that's presumably the standard when it comes to Mekach u'Memkar. If I'm selling you a car that has a scratch on it, or a couch that has a tear on it, if you would like to know about that kind of information ahead of time, if you would have known, you might not have bought the couch or bought the car. So that's the kind of information that I have to tell you about in Mekach u'Memkar. That's presumably the same standard when it comes to shidduchim. Yes?
If I am a third party and I tell people conducting the shidduch that there's a specific information they would like to know, but it turns out that they don't really care about it, am I then over Lashon Hara?
You shouldn't have done it. It has to be something you can... Everyone would care about. The Chafetz Chaim makes that one of his stipulations. You have to know that they will care about it. If you're not sure, you shouldn't say it. Okay, that should be the standard when it comes to Shidduchim as well. However, the stipler... Yes?
So two qualifications. One could either be that it's like Shadduch HaNefesh, that everyone... Would
everyone.
Care. Or if, let's say...
I know, they know, they care.
Told me in the past that this is an issue for me.
Yes. Yes. However, the stipler argues that Shidduchim should have a different standard, a different threshold, than when it comes to Mekach u'Memkar. When it comes to Mekach u'Memkar, everyone agrees that you have to let them know information that they wouldn't, that would be relevant. If they would know it, they might not have bought the item in the first place. When it comes to Shidduchim, the stipler claims it's a different standard. And he bases his argument on a Gemara in Masechtas Yevamos, Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says, Hahuda also kamei de Rav. There's a certain man who came before Rav, whose father was a goy, his mother was a Jew. Amale, so he asked him, what's my status? Ovi kechavim ve'evet al bo bas Yisrael. A nachri who has relations with Abbas Yisrael, what is the nature, what is the status of the child? So Rav told him, Avlad kosher. The child is a kosher, he can marry whoever he would like. So I said, really? So he said to Rav, Havli Bartech, give me your daughter. Such a kosher. Let me marry your daughter. Rav said, no, lo yehiv nalucha. No dice. Not giving him the daughter. So he says, oh, if you're not going to give me to marry your daughter, who's going to let me marry the daughter? He said, no one's going to give me a shidduch. So Amale, Rav said to him, Oy Gali, go to Galus. Aynosav bas minach, or marry a girl, was a similar situation. What does it mean, Gali? So says Rashi, Lech b'mokoyim shelo yakirucha. Go to a place where no one will know you, no one will know your situation. V'so bas Yisrael, marry a bas Yisrael. But over here, she'ilu yakirucha, over here where everyone knows your situation, they knew that the father was not Jewish. Lo yinulcha, no one's going to give you a shidduch. So over here where everyone knows, you're right, you don't stand a chance. Go somewhere else where no one knows and find the shidduch. So ask the disciple, but doesn't he have to tell them? The father's a guy? He doesn't have to say? He says, the disciple, no, he doesn't have to say. How can it be he doesn't have to say? If they would know over here, they would know in advance, they would never have agreed to the shidduch. Just like over here where everybody knows the father's a guy. No, he's not getting a shidduch if he's going to have a difficult time. How come when he goes over there, he doesn't have to say? So says the stifler, you see from here, when it comes to shiduchim, there's a different standard than mekach u'memkar. The only things that you have to reveal are those items that we would all agree, everyone, kuli alma, umdun demuchach, most people, or roiv people in the world, would ask for a divorce the minute that they find out about it. Those are the type of items that you have to reveal in advance. If you would find out about it, immediately you would ask for a divorce. But short of that, you don't have to reveal it. Even though if the parties would have known about it in advance, they wouldn't have agreed to the shidduch in the first place, like the fact that the father's a guy. No, but when they find out, are they necessarily going to ask for a divorce right away? Maybe some would, others wouldn't. So therefore, you don't have to reveal that information beforehand. Yes?
So how do we determine what objectively is that which people would immediately ask for a divorce?
Take a vote. Well, we all know. I mean, not we all know.
There are certain extremes that
yes.
You safely to figure out.
Right.
So only those?
And probably the... Yes, only that. That's it. That's all you got to let know in advance, says the stipler. Yes.
At what point during the shidduch did you say? Is it the beginning of the first 3 days? Or like
We'll get to it. You're talking about only those small category of things. The stipler says only those things that if they, when they would find out about it, they would break apart the shidduch, they would ask for... I mean, they would break apart the wedding. They would ask for a get... Those are the things that you have to reveal in advance. Short of that, not. And there's another raya to the stipler. I mean, this is an extreme position, but there's another raya to the stipler. From the Ran of Masechtos Ksubis. Look there, Ois Tes. The Ran writes in Masechtos Ksubis. What about a man who's a Kayin? He's going out with a woman, and she doesn't know that she's a Grusha. Kayin not allowed to marry a Grusha. Does she have to reveal in advance that she's a Grusha? Let's say she's a mamzer. She knows she's a mamzer. Does she have to reveal? And if she's not allowed to marry a regular Yisrael, she has to marry another mamzer again. Does she have to reveal in advance that she's a mamzeres? Writes the Ran, no. V'chein hadin ba'almano l'kohen gadol u'mamzeres v'nesino Yisrael sheloi haya hadavar muto aleihem legalois. You don't have to reveal that kind of information beforehand. Why not? Says the Ran, the Savri the Efshar she'arev olav amekach. I think that the guy might, come to terms with it and be happy with it in the end. What do you mean be happy with it in the end? They're living in sin for the rest of their lives. Ve'avo pishiyesh iser b'davar. Even though there's an iser in the matter, nonetheless, they might become happy with it. Masha ain't came b'mumin. No, but if there's a physical blemish, no, she ain't other than the fives ben. That kind of blemish people will never become happy with, and therefore you must reveal it beforehand. But if it's that she's a grusha or something, no, you don't have to reveal it. That's shocking. What do you mean you don't have to reveal she's a grusha? How can it be? So the Chazanish explains a little bit more the opinion of the Ran. He says what it means is, would you ask for a divorce immediately upon finding out? Let's say a guy gets married to a girl, chuppah, everything. Whoa, what a wedding. And then they get to the yichud room, and she says to him, by the way, I'm a grusha. Is he going to say, okay, that's it, get out, send everybody home, or is he going to, at that moment, would the entire world, or would we say there's an umdin in the muchach, most people in the world would say, call it off, or most people would take time to think about it. Maybe a week or two later, says the Chazon Ish, they might have karata, but in the heat of the moment, you never know what might happen, right? It's the Chazon Ish of Arayos. Second line, loy choshiv mum b'meichosha adam, Arayos is not felt as a mum by people, the nafter shal adam mechamdosan, adarabah, since there's an Iser that arouses the Yetzer Hara, mayim genuvim yimtaku, stolen water tastes sweeter, v'nehidu ha'achar his boninus, true, says the Chazon Ish, that after a little bit of thought, yischaret, he'll probably have charata and divorce her, about hacha hanidon hu alrega hakidushin v'hachupa, that moment in time. Is he going to kick her right out? Who knows? She'ilu noidolai ashu b'rega shesameh b'kirbosim, it's asa b'rchuka, ihu shav k'rega b'kaivish yitzroi, says the Chazon Ish, I don't know if the guy's going to be kaivish yitzroi and call everything off right at that moment. V'zeloi choshev umdin in the muchach. That is not called, you know, absolute by most people, that we could assume that most people would end the marriage at that point. It might last a week or two. So since it might last a week or two before he has charata, maybe you don't have to reveal it in advance. So that's the opinion of the stipler, is that, and there's two rise to his position from the Gemara and Yevamos, from the Ran Masechta Subas, the only things that you have to reveal in advance are those things that upon finding out, immediately you would ask for a divorce, it would be an absolute Kiddush HaTos, a game stopper. Those are the things that you have to reveal in advance. Short of that, not at all. Why is it different than Mekach U'Memkar? Mekach U'Memkar, you got to reveal if there's a scratch in the car, there's a tear in the couch. How come this is different? So Stipler explains they're very different. Why? Mekach U'Memkar, if I find the couch has a tear, so I say, well, why do I need this couch? I'll take it right back. I'll return it right now. Take it back to the store. Why do I need this one? Give me another one. There's a million couches in the world that don't have a tear. Why should I take the one that has a tear? I'll take it back and a new one. But when it comes to shiduchim, says the Stipler, that's not the case. You can't. I'll take it back and get one without the mum. You invested a ton of time. And it's not so easy to find. You know, people. Every person is unique. So you might have get rid of this mum. Have the person have another mum. So you can't necessarily say everything that if I would have known about it in advance, I wouldn't have bought it. That'll be the same standard as what I would return the item for. When you do Mekach U'Memkar, that's true. If I wouldn't have bought a couch with a tear, I have a couch with a tear. I'll take it right back to the store. Tell them, come pick it up. I don't want it. But when it comes to Shiduchim, it's not exactly the same.
But what if you know this guy's like a tremendous Yireh Shamayim, like you're already a huge rabbi, whatever it is, and then like all of a sudden he happens to marry a girl that's a month in.
You know he wouldn't. He can't handle it.
Not yet.
So then maybe it would be an umdin in the muchach. But the Chazon Ish says it's not. The Chazon Ish says it's not an umdin in the muchach. The greatest tzaddikim were sometimes surprised. So the Stipler says anything that unless you know will be a game stop is different than Mekach U'Memkar. Mekach U'Memkar, go back, get a different one. When it comes to shidduchim, it has to be something you know that the instant they find out, immediately they were asked to dissolve the marriage. Yes.
If an almana to a kohen is not something.
You want me to give you examples? I can, but I'd rather not.
Okay.
No. A Ramosha has cases that are called the absolute Kiddush HaTos. You come out and the guy is not interested in women. Game stopper. The guy is Ein Lo Gvuras Anoshim, which is Ramosha's example. He's impotent. Or the woman tells you she can't have children ever. He's an abusive husband. You find that right away. He says, by the way, you know, I'm a sexual predator. There are game stoppers out there. There are plenty of them. I mean, there's a list. So those type of things, a person would ask immediately, okay? So then, those are the only things that have to be disclosed. Short of that, not. And Ray Zilberstein, who's the son-in-law of Rabbi Yashiv, claims that perhaps that's the pshat in the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim, look over here, Ois Dawud writes, as we read, Imroya she'echad roitz l'shtadeh, if you see someone wants to, is about to engage in a shidduch, the third party must tell them, if the chassan has what? If he has chisroinois atzumim. major blemishes. What does he mean, major blemishes? Chesroinus atzumim? Not something that if you would have known in advance, you might not have agreed to the shidduch in the first place. No, something that if you would, when the minute you find out about this, you'd ask to dissolve the marriage. That's chesroinus atzumim. Anything short of that, the third party cannot reveal, and even the two parties are not obligated to reveal this information. That's the opinion of the Stipler, perhaps the opinion of the Chofetz Chaim as well. I'm not convinced that that's the opinion of the Chofetz Chaim, but it could be that's the opinion of the Chofetz Chaim as well. However, it is one could argue with the Raios and the position of the Stipler. First of all, it's very extreme, and the Raios are not ironclad. And the Stipler already himself raises an issue or two with the Raios. The first argument that could be made is the Gemara Masechtas Yevamos is very different than what, is a limited case. Why? Because we're talking about a certain situation that the parties themselves should have inquired about. The guy shows up, mamish to, a guy's living in a big city, father's a guy, he can't find the shidduch here. So he shows up in some third world country where nobody knows who he is, and all of a sudden he starts dating, looking for shidduchim in town. No one bothers to ask this guy, how come none of your family comes to any of the simchas of Vart, or Lechayim, it's a wedding. No relatives are there, no one's there. No one thought to ask the guy, by the way, where's your father? Where's your mother? What, are they Jewish? These are things you would have thought are obligations upon the people to ask. Whenever somebody has an obligation to find out certain information, meaning this is a red flag. The fact that the guy has no family around and the fact that nobody asked about it is their fault. That's not upon the chosen to disclose or third party to disclose, upon the people to ask and to find out. You find a similar thing. The Shulchan Aruch says that Ois Aleph that we started with in Chayshim Mishbat, on the second line, if it's something that the two parties engaging in the transaction should have thought to ask, let's say I'm selling a guy a couch. Or he makes a mistake himself, he jumps to the conclusion, I'm selling the guy a couch, a leather couch, I show him, look, here's the couch. Then he buys the couch and says, oh, it doesn't recline, I want to return it. Who told you the couch reclined? He said, well, don't all leather couches recline? No, not all leather. I showed it to you before, go sit down. The fact that you didn't realize the couch doesn't recline in advance is your fault, not mine. Well, I'm selling you a used car. I show you, look, here's the car. So I don't have to go and point out to you every single scratch and the problem with the car. Here, test drive the car, look at the car, you see what it is. You're interested in taking it to a mechanic, take it to a mechanic. If you don't, that's on you. I don't have to reveal that kind of information in advance because you should have asked or you jumped to conclusion. A guy shows up, no family, no nothing. Or you have a 60-year-old woman going out on shidduch dates. No one thought to ask her, by the way, have you ever been married? She's walking around with a shade. Everyone thought, by the way, are you divorced? That's your fault. So then already, that says the disciple. One could argue with these Gemaras and say, that's not really information that people would have no reason to suspect is true, or it's something that I would have no reason to suspect. The person has such a medical condition, perhaps that has to be revealed. Here we're discussing something that's it's their obligation to find out. Or the Chofetz Chaim has the example. He says, a third party is not allowed to say about the Chosan, he's not a Talmud Chacham. Even though he's an Amma or a Deiraisa, he's not allowed to go to the Mechutin and say he's not a Talmud Chacham. Why? Says the Chofetz Chaim, because the Mechutin should have given him a Faher. Like in the old days, the guy shows up for the day, they sit him down and start talking and learning. You want to know if the guy's a Talmud Chacham? Check it out for yourself. If you didn't check it out for yourself, that's your fault. And it's no one else's obligation, and therefore no one has the right to tell the Mechutin that the guy's Amma or if he cared about it, he should have sat down and given the guy a Faher. So says the Chofetz Chaim, there are certain things that a person has to realize on their own. And that's this Gemara in Masechtas Yevamos, the Ran, Masechtas Subas, are things that really you should have asked about. And if you didn't ask about, then perhaps already at that point it's on you. But that would mean, though, that things that you would not have thought to ask in advance, a medical condition or some other problem in the family, maybe that kind of information, even though it wouldn't have been a deal stopper after they're married, you wouldn't have immediately asked for a divorce, but maybe that kind of information, if I would have known about it in advance, I wouldn't have entered the shidduch. Maybe you do have to provide that kind of information. One could also argue with the Stipler's rise for a different reason. The Netziv has a tshuva in the Mesha Dovar, which is his set of tshuvos, where he argues perhaps this Gemara Nivomis is different. No. This Gemara is talking about something that will never come out. Guy goes to town. No one asks about his parents. They don't show up to anything. No lechayim, no vart, no wedding. They don't show up. So why are they going to show up later? The in-laws are not going to be an issue in this girl's life. They never show up. This thing could never come out. It will never come out that she's a grusha. Maybe. Okay. So if it never comes out, there'll never be an issue. It's not that we're discussing something, says in its if, that will later become an issue. Let's say a physical person has a physical condition. So if you're going to hide it now, but later on it might become an issue. A person is a certain medical condition. Maybe now it's being controlled. Later on it won't be able to be controlled. Or now it's not symptomatic. Later on it will become symptomatic. Ooh. So now you're right. That kind of information might have to be disclosed. This is different. This might never come out, ever. Who the in-laws are. I don't know who they are, and I might never find out who they are. Who cares? But if it's something that will later come out and will later affect them, then perhaps that kind of information has to be revealed. Even if it doesn't rise to the threshold of things that a person would immediately ask for a divorce, but perhaps that kind of information needs to be revealed. In fact, Rabbi Yashiv is quoted as having said that even though the Gemara says you don't have to reveal if the father is a guy, he holds nowadays you do have to reveal if the father is a guy. Against the Gemara. The Gemara says you don't have to say the father's not Jewish. But Yashiv holds, nowadays you do. You know why? It'll come out. In those days you could keep secrets. And nowadays, but there's no secrets. Someone's going to find out. So since it's going to be revealed, so then now you have to tell. If you'll never be revealed, and so then maybe I know never become an issue, so then you don't have to reveal it. But if it will become revealed, so then you'd have to reveal it already now. A third way one can marginalize the Gemara in Yevamos, say it's limited in its scope, is an argument that Dr. Abraham has what is the authoritative work on all issues of medical ethics. It's been translated by Artscroll now. It's called the Nishmas Avram. So the Nishmas Avram, Dr. Abraham quotes in the name of Rabbi Yashiv, who said that this Gemara is only talking about things that are not substantive issues. Again, like who the father-in-law is. What would be the difference does it really make who the shver is? They say, you know, you're marrying the girl, you're marrying her family, and there's a lot of truth to that. But in the end of the day, if the father-in-law is a guy, so it's most impactful in the sense that people were going to say, what are they going to say? Ma yoimru. What will people say when the shver comes to, shul and the shver is a grace of guy? So what are people going to say? Uncomfortable. But it's not, so it won't affect the functioning of this couple's marriage necessarily, husband and wife. Could be it won't. So therefore, says Rabbi Yashiv, that's not something of substance. It's my yoimru. What will people say? So maybe that kind of information doesn't have to be revealed. It won't necessarily impact upon the marriage, the marriage directly. But if it will impact upon the marriage directly, so then Rabbi Yashiv says, so then that is something that would have to be revealed. Huh? Rabbi Yashiv is thinks the standard is different. Stipler, is the one who said, Stipler said, the threshold is different than Mekachumemka. Mekachumemka, you have to reveal anything that if you wouldn't have bought in advance, had you known this, that's the threshold of information that has to be revealed in Mekachumemka. When it comes to Shiduchim much harder to come by. You wouldn't necessarily be turning it over to nothing. So Shiduch, it has to be that something that when you find out immediately you would have asked for a divorce. And Rabbi Yashiv argues that the riyas of the stipler are not really riyas. You should have asked about it on your own. It might never come out. It won't necessarily impact upon the marriage, all the cases that the stipler brings up. But things that you know will impact upon the marriage. Or, Rabbi Yashiv argues the standard should be the same as Mekachum Memkar. Anything that the parties would have wanted to know in advance. And had they known in advance, they would not have agreed to the shidduch initially. Well, that's called relevant information, and that's the type of information that has to be revealed by the two parties and would have to be revealed by a third party as well. And if you don't reveal it, it'd be over on the east of Leisam al Dam Reacha. Yeah.
So, one of my friends here at YU, his father's a boy.
Yes.
I don't know if he's dating or not, but if when he starts dating, do I have to,
No, he would presumably reveal that information on his own.
Do I have to make sure that he does? Sense that
otherwise it'd be are you his mashgiach another in Yonah?
No, that wouldn't necessarily matter because that would make a difference.
You're right, but you have an obligation to make sure he goes to Minyan in the morning too. You have a Kol Yisrael, a Ravim Zebazet. There's other obligations you have to your friend.
In the sense that if I were to
witness him doing any of it.
I don't think we have to go actively and seek out opportunities, meaning if I don't have to go and check every business deal and make sure everybody's disclosing everything they have to, even though you know, yes, I know this information, I could rest easy and assume that the guy is going to reveal the information that he has to reveal. Why would you assume that Otubur Shoy asking, and why would you assume he's not going to reveal the information that he has to reveal? If you find out that he's not, or you have reason to suspect that he's not, like they ask you, and a month in, they ask you, and he hasn't told them, then that's a red flag. But barring that, I would assume that the guy's going to tell the information he has to. Okay, but this is the machlekes hapoiskim. The stipler holds the only things you have to reveal are those that if you find that immediately would request a divorce is a game stopper. And Rebbe Yashuv holds, no, the standard is like mekach u'memkar. Anything that if you would know in advance, you wouldn't have gone through with the shidduch, you wouldn't have agreed to the shidduch in the first place, that's the type of information you have to reveal. And if you don't, you'd be in violation of the iser, gnevas das, of withholding information the other party is entitled to. Yes. Stipler holds, it's only those things that upon finding out about it, most people in the world would ask for a divorce. Pretty limited cases. Rabbi Yashuv holds, no, a much more lower threshold. He equates it with mekach u'memkar. Anything that you would like to know in advance that might impact upon your decision or would impact upon most people's decision whether or not to go through with the shidduch or to agree to the shidduch in the first place, that's called relevant information that you have to reveal, and if you don't, to be over in the Yisrael Gnevas Das. Let's say it's an interesting tidbit, but it wouldn't impact upon their decision whether or not to go through with the shidduch, but just, FYI, that kind of stuff. That's called Lashon Hara, that you're not allowed to say. That's exactly, haste dust Lashon Hara, that's it. But if it would impact upon their decision whether or not to go through with the shidduch, that is the machlekes between the stipler and Rebbe Yashuv. It could be that there is a conceptual basis to this machlekes. What is that exactly the nature of the iser of gnevas das, that I'm not allowed to withhold relevant information? So the Ritva writes in Chulin on Daf Tzadi Dalumet Aleph, look over here, Oisir Aleph, gnevas das means, is included under the umbrella of gneva mamish. Iser gnevas das, Kasvu Ksasra Bosenu B'Shem Bali Atoysus Shu Iser Torah, withholding information is an Iser Midoraisa, then Afkalom Midachsiv Loisig Noivu. You're not allowed to steal. So I could steal either by taking your item, or how else could I steal? I withhold relevant information from you, and if you would have known, you would have returned the item, but you don't know. So you therefore do not return the item. In a certain sense, I stole your money from you then. A mistaken sale is like I'm stealing your money, because I withheld information that if you had known, you would have returned the item. In which case, I think it makes sense to argue like the stipler that the only type of information you're not allowed to withhold is information that would have caused you to return the item or to call off the wedding, call off the marriage. If you withhold that kind of information, you're stealing from the person. Like, I stole your money. But anything short of that would not be gneva. I think you would have liked to know about it, but you're not going to demand a divorce. It's not a mekach tos necessarily. So then maybe you're not over in the Iser of Gnevas Das and would not be required to disclose that information. However, the Rambam does not include the Iser of Gnevas Das under the umbrella of Loisig Noivu. He rather includes it kind of like an Iser Midas. It's not in Hilchas Gneva. It's in Hilchas Mechira, which is not where I would have put it. I would have put it if it's Loisig Noivu, I would have put it in Hilchas Gneva. The Rambam puts it in Hilchas Mechira and Hilchas Deus, where he brings Hilchas Midas. The Rambam writes over here, Oysir Gimel, Perek Beis, Hilchas Deis, Halacha Vav, Asa La'adam Lahanig Asma B'divrei Chalukah Supitua, you can't be involved in any type of seduction or coercion. V'lo'iyah Echa B'peva Echa B'leiv, you shouldn't be one thing in the heart, one thing in the mouth, Elo Teichai Kebaroi, V'asa Lignoiv Das Abriyos. So the Rambam includes it with kind of like an Iser of Midois, to always be truthful, and not to use, underhanded seduction and coercion. So if that's the case, then I think it's a much broader Iser. Gnevas Das means that I should really reveal to you anything you would want to know in advance that might impact upon your decision. Even though you might not be a Mekach Tos, you won't necessarily dissolve the marriage when you find out about it, but I really should have told you in advance. You would have liked to have known about it. So it might have impacted your decision. So if that's the nature of Gnevas Das, then perhaps it shouldn't be Echa B'Lev, Echa B'Peh. I hear, I think, the opinion of Rebbe Yashuv makes a lot more sense. So how do we pass the Lamaise as a machloikas contemporary paiskim, the stipler, as Reb Chaim Kanievsky's the son of the stipler. We lived in our generation, our time, and Rabbi Yashiv. So, Ramesha, if you look in the Shuvah, Ramesha is very confusing. Ramesha has one Shuvah, I mean, this will blow your socks off. Ramesha has one Shuvah about a woman who's 20 years old and hasn't had a period yet. She said, I can't have children, obviously. 20 years old, hasn't had a period yet. Does she have to disclose that information to the chassan? Ramesha writes, no. Maybe it will come back. So the doctor told me, it could be, you could bring about a period through hormone treatments. Maybe it will come back. And then Ramesha writes something which is startling. Ramesha says, either way, maybe it will come back. I don't know, it sounds far-fetched. But either way, Ramesha says, the daughter and her father will make up in advance that if she hasn't had children, after 4 years of marriage, they'll agree to get divorced, no problem. And the chassan will be kim'at ein loy hefsid, says Rav Moshe. He will have lost nothing. 21, he was the best guy in the base medrash. He's had a list of girls, you know, this long. 5 years later, as a young man, divorced, 25. What do you mean kim'at ein loy hefsid? That's hard to swallow for Rav Moshe. That's hard. Rav Moshe does another tshuva about a young man who at Nebuch has Marfan syndrome, which if you know what that is, a serious genetic problem. Rav Moshe says that absolutely must be disclosed. And if you don't disclose, it'd be in violation of Gnevas Das. So Rav Moshe, you know, you could resolve the two tshuvas and say one was a fear that hasn't necessarily been fulfilled. Maybe she could have hormone treatments and come to have a period. And this is something that was known bivados that she had, that the young man had. But Rabbi says, it's hard to figure out whether you're coming or going over here, Rabbi Shah. However, the general rule that is adopted by most of Paiskim is the rule of the Chazon Ish. That's quoted over here in the Sefer called Binas Hashidoch, about all of these types of vinyanim. Rabbi Zilberstein, who's the son of Rabbi Yashiv, quotes in the name of Chazon Ish, that this is the rule, Bein La Halacha, Bein Al Pi Eitza Toiva, and that is that you should reveal everything that the other person would want to know in advance that will make play a role in their decision making whether or not to go through with the shidduch. Even if it's not the threshold of the stipler that you would have automatically demanded a divorce upon hearing about it, less than that, any the opinion of Rabbi Yashiv, anything that if you want a party would have wanted to know about in advance that will impact upon their decision whether or not to go through with the shidduch. Because Eitza Toiva Kamashmuan says the Chazon Ish, Ki Kol Davar, Shatzibor Machbid Havimum. Anything that the tzibor, that most people would consider to be a mum, must be revealed. Vegamze ein zemeyatfuna lahastir davar. It doesn't make sense to conceal this information. Shestoifa yizgale, because ultimately it will come out. Vatarumos tishar lechol hachayim. The tainos will last their entire life. Every time there's a bump in the road for this couple, all of this is going to come up every time. And you didn't tell me about this. Will come up, no doubt, every time. Every time. And you should have told me. And if I would have known, and all of these type of things will come up. So therefore says the Chazon Ish, he seems to pass me like Rabbi Yashiv. And that's the opinion of Rav. HaPoskim is not like the stipend. We're not things that if you would have found that out, automatically you would have demanded a divorce. Less than that. Things that will impact upon the decision in advance, whether or not they would have gone through with the shidduch or not, must be revealed between the two parties. If a third party knows about it, he must tell them. It's not lashon hara. And says the Chazon Ish, more important than all of that is that Eitza Toiva Kamashmuan, because otherwise it's going to come up every time and could destroy this young couple's marriage. But then the Chazon Ish adds an important caveat. Okay, so that's the opinion of Rav HaPoskim. All this information that would impact upon the decision whether or not to go through with the shidduch in the first place must be revealed. But then the Chazon Ish adds, Ulam loy bepkisha harishayna, not the first date. Ki bepkishas harishaynas lekras hasayf, rather towards the end. Not the first date. Why not the first date? So the stipler has a line in his piece, Masechtas Yevamah, Simen Mem Daled, where he discusses this, we've been quoting from. He writes, because at the beginning of a shidduch, kol dover katan miskalkel, any little thing can throw off a shidduch. Why? Because a person looks at himself, he says, look, I'm perfect. That's it. Obviously. He says, I don't want to go out with anybody who's not perfect. So if you hear at the outset, the person, by the way, has such a problem. No, not for me. Person, it's a, not for me. Why? And it could be, there's a psychological principle behind this, is that people hear about a certain chisaron someone else has, automatically every time they see them, all they see in neon flashing lights is that chisaron. It hasn't been put in context of the larger individual. So therefore, says the Stipler, at the beginning of a shidduch, everything destroys the shidduch. So the Chazanish says, even though you should reveal this type of information that might impact upon the decision whether or not to get married in the first place, even though they might not necessarily demand the divorce immediately because of this, but they wouldn't have gotten married in the first place, says the Chazanish, you have to reveal it, but not the first date. It will destroy the shidduch. Rather, he says, you should reveal the Kras HaSeif when the person will be able to take that piece of information and put in context of the larger individual. Yes.
So he waits, let's say, 6 months to go tell a girl something, that 6 months that girl will never get back. So meaning that for her, meaning that, and if it was something that, that she would really bother her.
Yes.
I mean that 6 months, I guess, in a dating period.
Not fair.
This guy is not fair, is it?
It's not fair. So we'll have to come up with a pshara. But 1 second, look over here. Rav Moshe says the same thing as the Chazon Ish. Rav Moshe was asked Shaila about a young woman who engaged in a Maisa's Nus when she was single. So she's not a psula. Does she have to tell the chassan about it? So you don't have to have a tell-all. You don't have to, reveal every avera you ever did. You have to do vidoy before your wedding. At mincha, mincha before the wedding, chassan does vidoy, but he doesn't have to reveal to his wife every avera that he ever did, and neither does she. That's the Dayan Weiss. The Chuvis Minchas Yitzchak argues you don't have to have a vidoy before you get married. You don't have to be in your shidduch resume every avera the person ever did. Dayan Weiss writes, and this is important, he says, if a person had a lifestyle change, let's say a person grew up not frum, or he was off the derech for 10 years of his life, and then he came back, he did tshuva, then Dayan Weiss says that should be revealed. That's an issue that could last a person, that could have lasting effects. Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Tainus, one of the qualities we look for in a shliach tzibor is he should be pir koinoe. What does pir koinoe mean? Not a... means that the Gemara says Shlo Yotel of Shame Rabbi Aldusai. He wasn't off the derek when he was younger, but if he has a Shame Rabbi Aldusai, so then that's something that should be revealed. A lifestyle change, says Dayan Weiss, has to be revealed. But a vera, one time thing, you don't have to reveal. But says Rav Moshe, this girl has to reveal it because otherwise the chassan is going to obligate himself in the ksuba Shalai Kedin, a besula, as we know from last year, gets a ksuba of Masayim Zekukim Kesef Tzarev 200. A Ba'ula gets a kesa, gets a ksuba of only 100. So the chassan is going to obligate himself in more money than he has to. So that's Geneva Mamish. Not Geneva Stas, Geneva Mamish. So you have to reveal that to the chassan. So Rav Moshe says it has to be revealed, but says Rav Moshe the following, that matter you have to reveal to the chassan, v'adai at tzrich legalos lo, says Rav Moshe. Of course, you must review it. Aval ein chat tzrich lahagla b'riyah v'hakar de pam rishana. You don't have to say it the first time, first date. Shadai lo yadu im yirtzu b'chal shidduch. Says Rav Moshe, I don't know if the guy wants to get married. Let's say a girl, first date, is going to reveal this information. Now, the chassan is going to go around telling everybody else because they didn't know. You don't know if they're going to get married, and now it's going to become public information. You can't control the flow of information once it's out there. And you don't know if this guy was ever interested in the shidduch in the first place, in which case, says Rav Moshe, you're not allowed to walk around reviewing your averus. You're not supposed to parade your averus around in the public thoroughfare. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Ashrei nosoi pesa kisoi chatoi. You're supposed to cover over your averus. Embarrassed. Says Rav Moshe, what's the point of reviewing? You don't know if they want the shidduch. Mimela also oz lahagiloi. You're not allowed to review it. Only when you know that they're interested in going ahead with the shidduch, he already told you and you already spoke about marriage. Then you should reveal it. Prior to that, not. But that's this situation, that she engaged in a maisa's nus. What about another detail? There might be a greater consequence. So then maybe you have to reveal it a little bit beforehand. Because it's not fair, that'll be pointed out. She's going to wait till the very end, right before they get engaged, by the way, you know, information dump. What do they call that in the news? And they give information, everything on Friday. You know, the news dump. So by the way, you know, they start talking about it, now everything comes out. So that's not fair, because you wasted the other person's time of dating, you know, for depending on what social circle or cultural circle you find yourself in, what the dating protocol is. You're dating for X amount of period of time. That person wasted money and time. So it's not fair. On the other hand, you can't expect people to reveal information right away. Then the information they no longer in control, and this person was never interested in the shidduch in the first place. So you have to define in your cultural circle, whatever the normal dating period is, you know, I think it's whenever the relationship becomes serious. You know, as Rav Moshe says, you're already speaking about, you can tell the person is years of bechlal shidduch. You're in the parsha. It makes sense. You're not just still testing the waters, and already things are progressing. They're moving somewhere. If they're already progressing, they're moving somewhere, and that's hard to tell. And each girl and boy could be a different, even within a cultural circle. You know, people date obviously for different periods of time in different social and cultural circles within Klal Yisrael. But even in each relationship, some move faster than others. If it's moving faster than another, you have to let the person know. When it becomes serious, as Ramosha says, you can tell that the relationship is serious. You're ready. Now you don't have to necessarily be planning the wedding. Ramosha says you're ready. Diber bedvar nisu. I mean, it's going somewhere. You're in the parsha. You're not wasting each other's. So then at that point, the information that's relevant, the person's entitled to, should be revealed. If you don't reveal it, you're over on the Yisr of Gnevas Das. And a third party, if they're asked about it, also has to be honest, answer honestly. And if the parties haven't revealed that information, to be obligated to reveal the information based on Leisam and Adam Reacha. Okay, Shkayach. Difficult topic.